Could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Studio Obsolete?
So my name is Diane, and I work on behalf of Obsolete Studio that I co-founded a few years ago with Aurélien Krieger. And we started this project because we were both coming from artistic background. Actually, he's an engineer, and I come from an artistic background. And we were very interested in, how can art change thought patterns and transform positively, bring positive transformation in society. So we were looking, we were working with artist researchers who are in between art and science, basically. We do a lot of workshops and educational programs for different kind of institutions. And a few years ago, so 3 years ago, more exactly, I moved to Romania. That is my home country. And I met Floriana, and I joined her association that is based in Bucharest, and we organized those art science residencies that that follow up on artistic production and eventually exhibitions. Now with the, I don't know if I'm getting ahead with the questions, but the reason why we're in the Danube Delta also is because we wanted to extend the scientific laboratory to the field research and look at how scientists are also working outside an institute, which is still something that we have to figure out, to be honest.
And why did you choose the Danube Delta?
I think there's some personal reasons for that. Mm-hmm. First of all, Floriana, she comes from a little village on the Danube, and on my side, my dad is from Constanța, that is south from here. It's the main port in Dobrogea region on the Romanian part. It used to be in the Navy, so there was always a water connection in my life. And I used to come to Dobrogea. I mean, I came here, I think, every summer. I spent every summer in Constanța. But the landscape there changed dramatically in the past 30 years. And I couldn't find a landscape that was left wild, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, we thought about the Danube Delta as a nice connection because it is a place of wilderness. Like, I think it's considered like to be one of the last truly wild regions in Europe. And at the same time, it has this connection between the Danube River and the Black Sea. So we thought as a starting point, it would be very interesting for us to be here. There are also more pragmatic reasons to this choice. I would say it's a place of a lot of frictions. There's a lot of history. The geography is changing. The history of the communities that live here. It's a place of refuge. The biodiversity. All this. There's a lot of paradoxes. So it's very wild, but it's also very polluted. Mm-hmm. So for the type of art and artists we're working with, it's a very, how do you say, like a fertile terrain for creation. So this is the reasons why, and I would like in the future maybe to extend this to the Black Sea region. I would love to take it more south to Constanța, and which seems impossible right now to me, but Danube Delta is a nice start.
A good start. Yeah. So we are not sitting here alone. Can you tell us more about the current project?
Yes. So actually, we started this project last year. We came with a bigger group of people, artists and also cultural professionals, I think it was more of a good opportunity to gather around a lot of people who know about water-related challenges, coming from many different places, who are also used to working in the frame of bigger European projects too. That session last year was more of a discovery and a brainstorming of how, what could we do actually, like what could we do in the future. So with the small opportunities that we have, on funding aspect of things, we decided to keep the Danube Delta projects running in different ways. I think the easiest way for us is to do what we know, meaning residency, for starters, and then the production and exhibition. So this is exactly what we're doing right now, following up what we learned last year. We invited back a couple of artists that participated in the pilot. So Mark Iserman, Iwan Abremoser, and Volia Makrinda, who's also the co-founder of the association and artist in the project, to come here again for a few days, and this time to explore another area. And I don't know how to start this, but basically all of them already have an ongoing research. So it was also, it made sense for us to make an artistic proposal around a research that they are already working on. So it makes sense, though it's not like a total new, and add a narrative layer related to the Danube Delta in the works. So this is how it's like. Right now we're in the residency, we're here all together, and it's going to be followed by a small period where they're going to produce some artwork, and first exhibition will take place in Bucharest at the end of August, in SAC Gallery on 26th of August, the opening, and will also be in Linz for the during the Arts Electronica week, to present the project with our partners, Servus.
You mentioned it in the beginning. What is the main purpose of the project? What's your goal in a wider sense? You talked about to change patterns of thinking, and that's, I guess, my question.
Yes, for this one, for the Danube Delta, to be completely honest, we don't really know. We make this point of taking things slow and organically, and kind of see where things will take us. So, of course, there will be a lot of small results on the way. The artistic productions and the exhibitions, and even the residencies themselves. But we don't have a bigger picture yet, and I think also because we're thinking long term. I don't want to see this project as being okay, we do it for a few years, then we stop. There's no point for us. So I don't know what's going to happen in 10, 15 years. But we intend to keep on running this. We're also taking a lot of inspiration around us, like for example Theodor Frolo, who is hosting us right now. He has done a lot of socially and community oriented projects in the Delta, so this is very interesting. Obviously we don't want to be For now, this is what we're doing, because we still don't know exactly how things will go. We're only taking the inspiration here, and then we're presenting it in Bucharest. But maybe one of the outcomes would also, longer term, could be also to bring a steady program here in the Danube Delta for the locals, like for the communities here. That could be something. This is something that I would personally love to work towards. Also because the type of artwork that we show is not the easiest one. And I do think it it kind of opens minds on alternatives. What could happen? You know, there's a lot of questions raised. The artists are not here to bring solutions. They're here to bring another perception. And I think it would be. I'm not saying that the Danube Delta needs this. But it would be interesting to see how an exhibition of that type would go.
Also introduce, we start with the hardest question again. Could you also introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Gloria Macunda. I am one of the co-founders of Colony Association, and I'm let's say an artistic director and an artist in most of our projects. I co-founded Colony 5 years ago together with two other friends, a journalist and another artist. I think the main drive for founding this association was at the time related to the fact that as artists, me and my colleague Sabina, we kind of felt the need to have like a structure to access funding for our productions, but also like scientific research partners, because most of our ideas were related to the scientific research, or like we got inspiration from the science and technology, and we felt that working with scientists would be very beneficial for our artistic progress. And after we founded Colony, we realized that this need we have is like a quite a general need, and that other artists can benefit from this structure. And we started to open somehow the network we managed to establish with the scientific institutes to other artists, other cultural professionals, following the idea that collaboration might be like a very good thing for different professionals and various fields.
And what's your own individual project you are currently working on within the project here?
I'm working. I'm also the artistic director of the project, but an artist as well. We decided to make this year a research and production project. So this short residency is following some sessions of research that we already made and some discussions we had with scientists in a laser plasma institute in Mogurele earlier, and also some discussions we had with the researchers from Danube Delta Research and Development Institute in Tulcea. So we came here having already some ideas about the work we want to produce, but of course field research is always important. On the field you get new information, you get samples of stuff, you get to expand the ideas or like test some of the hypotheses you already have. So
what's your personal research about at the moment?
At the moment I'm trying to make an interactive installation following the idea that the atmosphere is this collective medium, that we, all the species, we are participating in creating this atmosphere, and I'm trying to make like a neural network that integrates several species that produce oxygen and consume CO2 in relation to the human breathing. has an idea that we breathe, therefore we are. So,
And can you tell us a little bit more about the collaboration with the museum? How did it come to this? And how is it living here and working here?
The collaboration with the Ivan Pataki Museum started last year, after we already got the funding for our pilot project researching Danube places and Danube Delta places that we can go to and where we can find like interesting stuff. And of course, we made a research with people that already established some cultural project in the Danube Delta, and this is how we found Teodor Frolu. We contacted him. We came here for the first time, and we had like a dinner, and we discussed. We found out we have lots of idea that we share and we like, and we decided to have the residency this year here in the Mila 23 Museum Ivan Pataki.
And how is it? how are you doing?
It's quiet. It's really quiet and nice, and it's a perfect place for a residency if you're interested in working with Danube Delta. It's like quite wild. You have access to a lot of stuff. You can have like slow boat trips on the canals. You can. There are lots of tourists as well coming to the museum, so you might encounter interesting people also. So I think it's a good place to be in the Delta.
Yeah, I think so too. Could you also introduce yourself, please?
Hello, I'm Joanna Bremen-Moser. I'm a sound artist. I build instruments, machines, installations. I'm originally from Timișoara, so the west side of the country, and I've been developing my practice for over 10 years in Berlin. And I'm here with a research project that I'm developing since 5 years on the topic of fluidics, so computing with water or air. And this research project is kind of growing slowly, and when I got invited last year, I kind of decided to kind of branch it into a more applied part of it, so to see how this fluidics can actually make sense in the context of the Delta.
Can you tell a bit more about the history of fluidics so that people who don't have an idea about it to able to understand it?
Yeah, so fluidics is a research science, actually it's a computer science domain which was abandoned in the 80s. It survived and it thrived in the 50s and up until the 80s. And it's basically this idea that you can make similar circuits that you can make with electronics just by using water and air, and by forming some specific geometries and cavities where this water and air can collide, swirl, and make different processes. So you can theoretically, with this fluidics, you can build transistors that work with water and air. You can build machines that do the same things as digital machines, or analog machines, machines that function differently. And what is very fascinating about this field is that basically all these machines, they're just cavities that are waiting to be filled with substance. So there's no moving parts, there's no minerals, it's just the shape itself which moves the fluid and makes the motion. So this means that it becomes very resilient in over time, but it also is resilient to radiation, and it was a proposal for like space technologies. It's also interesting somehow the reason why it failed, that was what caught my eye, that it was not able to develop as fast as electronics did, so through this exponential growth. And that is because it is limited to this speed of water and air, so the speed of flow. And I thought this is kind of poetic that you have a technology which limits itself to kind of a natural movement. And so I took these shapes, I de-archived them, and when by saying by de-archiving, I took these old patents and books, I extracted the shapes and I tried to prototype them and make them back to function. And then I wanted to show them in function, so I made a few installations, a few iterations of this process. Depending on the funding, I kind of develop it further. So the last piece is a larger piece where different elements kind of connect together and entangle to create different processes.
Will you show your work in Linz at the Ars Electronica? Is it maybe you can tell us about this?
So at Ars Electronica, I will show Fluid Anatomy, which is one of the most recent iterations of the work. It's a larger system, which is kind of a hybrid system because there's water and there is air. Some pieces actually create oscillations, so there's air oscillators entangled with the water pieces, and it's basically mapping this anatomy of a full computer through this fluidic shape. So it's forming like a labyrinth where you can walk and see these shapes, and they're all entangled in tubes, so you can see how, where the water goes, what kind of jets it forms. And it's a little bit, I wanted to leave it very hydropneumatic, so it's very rough, it's transparent. You have this like glass plates, and then you have the tubes, and the sounds are very pneumatic. So I didn't actually, I just have valves and compressed air and distilled water running through the system, powering it.
Okay.
I can talk about the project here maybe, or it doesn't.
Yeah, would be great, yeah.
Although it's not really defined when I'm doing it.
No, it's great.
Yeah, the process is also super interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I talk about the idea that I had this morning. Yeah. So after talking to this man yesterday and the para-fantastic stories that are being told by the locals in the Delta, he told yesterday about a factory that used to produce the finest glass in Europe. So I researched what this factory was, and it's actually not the finest glass in Europe. Actually, it was never producing glass because it collapsed before at the time of the regime. So they made the factory, but then the regime collapsed before the factory got to produce any glass. And this is because there is a lot of this very fine quartz sand in the Danube Delta. And so this morning I realized, because yesterday I was already thinking to switch to glass, like borosilicate glass. And this morning I realized that I need to collect some of this glass sand from this this particular part of Kara Orman, and to see if I can smelt it to make the glass for these fluidic elements. So I wanted to make initially a telecommunication system, like a radio system, using this fluid shapes. And I was looking in three patents, one from the 50s, one from the 80s, in which they develop kind of a way to catch air from an airplane or a boat to amplify voice in the cabin, so to make a kind of a telecom. And I thought this was inspiring for me, this patent. So I tried to deconspire it and understand how it works, and now I did. And now I try to see how to make it from glass, if it's possible to recreate these shapes out of glass to kind of form an alternative telecom system that uses only pressurized air, so no electronics, no, besides the air itself, which would be nice to also find a way to pump it manually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not defined exactly yet what the work will be like, but it's getting through a few directions to be there.
My name is Mark IJzerman, and I'm a media artist living and working in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands. And I Also got to join the Afterland project last year, so the first residency. And I think Diane invited me because I've done work around waters and the histories and futures of waters before, notably in the Rotterdam port, which is a lot closer to where I live. Last year what really struck me here was that it's kind of like a unique place in Europe, like Diane also said, like one of the one of the last sort of, I don't like to use the word wilderness, a unique place, let's put it like that.
Why do you avoid the word wilderness?
Because there it has this sort of Germanic idea of that there is this wilderness that human needs to conquer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What's this painting called again? With the guy standing up on top of the rock?
Oh, yeah.
That's what the word wilderness conjures up in my mind.
Mm.
Okay. And what's your current project? What's your current research?
So before this, I was in Taiwan working with another body of water, so working with a river called the Love River. I made the first sort of iteration of a series of works called Watershed, and there I worked around watershed tough love because of the Love River and the resilience of that river. So I kind of know what the work will look like, but I don't know the concept yet, so I'm working kind of backwards in that way. But it's a work where there's water dripping on a series of acrylic plates that are decorated in different ways. For this one I don't know how yet. And the water in the end ends up changing colors on a piece of fabric, kind of signifying pollution or resilience or possible change. So, and I think here I will do the same, but there is lots of possibilities where the work will still go. So it might be that we work with the Laser Institute and they're able to, for example, pattern something on the acrylic which has a certain meaning in the context of the Danube Delta. This is stuff which is still an unknown, sort of to be seen in the next 2 months. But in essence, it's like a very, very slow fountain.
Yesterday we saw you recording water.
Yeah.
Do you already know if this will be part of your artwork?
It might be. It was in the past. It's good that you mentioned that because the water that I'm recording, and I'm also collecting plankton samples, is also to kind of show the different side of certain bodies of water that maybe we kind of might know from the surface, let's say. This is something I want to highlight with the work as well. So there's this media aspect to the work. So it's not only a sort of slow fountain, but it's also showing what's in those drops that drip down through those plates up close. So that's listening underwater with hydrophones, underwater microphones, to what might be there. So freshwater shrimp, fish, but also the way that we hear a lot of, like here you hear a lot of like electric motors or motors from boats. I don't know in what way that will inform the work yet. I haven't been to a place where you hear so much of these vehicles, but I think it will inform the work in some sense, because it's always, I always find it weird also in my own hometown, if I put a microphone in the water, that you hear these boats that you cannot see yet, because sound travels very well through bodies of water, and through that you also get a feeling for what these organisms experience, that they are also disturbed, or at least they have to put up with a lot of these sounds that we put in the water just for getting around here, you know?
I have a, let's say, a poetic or cheesy question. Do you think, because you are diving with your ears or your microphones under the surface, is water kind of the subconscious of Earth, and you are kind of a psychoanalyst?
Um,
because it's hidden.
Yeah, but I think I always like to look for what's hidden. So that's also with this plankton, it's stuff that we cannot see or perceive. This is also, you know, a media art trope, right? You try to show what you cannot see just by looking with your own eyes and ears. And actually, when you talk about sound specifically, this is how sound art, or a big part of like field recording and sound art, came about. So through the fact that we, through mediated electronic listening, people got, the wheels were protected, for example. Like a big part is like that the wheels were protected because there was a record put out with wheel sounds. Before that, we used to, you know, kill all the wheels. So there is this power that this mediated listening, mediated seeing, whatever, mediated sensing has, that is quite strong and can also change something further down the line. So this is why I'm also looking at this plankton and listening to fish and other organism sounds underwater.
I liked it because it opens up perception and it opens up the world for
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
The world is bigger now. It's great. Maybe you can also tell us a little bit of about living here and working here. Do you come in contact with locals, for example?
Yeah, for me it's difficult because I'm the only one of the group who doesn't speak Romanian. But we are talking about possible funding opportunities to do longer projects and, like Diane said, to work more with the people here. Which I would also love, but I also feel very shy about when I say just in English good morning and they answer me in Romanian and I don't know, you know.
Maybe they call you an asshole.
No, I think there's some sort of good morning in there that I can distill, but I still need to learn the language. But this is always sometimes difficult when you travel somewhere else as an artist. Yeah, it's also why I asked you about it. Like, how was it to travel through all these countries and not be able to speak the language?